everyone. Do you hear me now? Are we live? We had a no sound problem initially. I've reloaded now. How is it going in the regular chat? Sound now? Okay, I was saying, if only you knew how bad things really are. This is a 25-inch eel that they have withdrawn from someone's intestine after he put the eel in his anus for sexual pleasure alongside a lime. Is the lime supposed to attract the eel? I don't know. Is the lime an encouragement for the eel to go deeper? They write, eels can survive in anaerobic conditions for a long time and have the ability to bite through the gastrointestinal tract. Not a brilliant move, but that's what they had to deal with. A 43-year-old man in Vietnam. Stephen Robinson says, no, this must burn in volcano. Okay, so it's like the One Ring of the Lord of the Ring. You need to throw it down the volcano. I'm so disappointed because I was about to make a show to encourage Kyle Rittenhouse to continue on his free path. But just the time to make a thumbnail, people retract their statements at this point. We can't do news anymore because people are too cucked. By the time we found the news that's interesting, the person at the center of the news cucks out, and Kyle Rittenhouse cucked out. He was on a very good streak of thought. He was like, well, Trump didn't give me what satisfies me on the side of Second Amendment, and so I'm going to write in Ron Paul. I'm going to not give my endorsement to the circus that the Trump campaign has become. I'm going to note my disagreement historically so that when we see that Trump is pro-red flag laws and that kind of crap, he's going to be punished at the electoral booth. But by the time I had uploaded the thumbnail, Kyle Rittenhouse withdrew, and now he's siding after receiving the call. He's siding with the Republicans who are calling for unity around Trump. Absolutely ridiculous. And this is why we can't have good things. It's that no one is a free thinker. They're all a bunch of bullshit artists, part of congregates. They have to ask permission to think something. And as long as we have this, we won't have a single original thought on the public space. We are stuck with a pre-written narrative of groups that are unified, that they all have to think the same, and they went down on Kyle Rittenhouse very quick, and as soon as he published this video yesterday, there started to be pushback around him, and they have brought him back into the line. So it's, why are we right-wing? Why are we for liberty? We can't even have liberty of thought in our public epistemology. We can't even have one person walking astray from the main line. That was Kyle Rittenhouse trying to leverage intelligently in the way I've done, in the way Nick Fuentes has done, for other reasons. It's not like we are obsessed with the Second Amendment, but that was Kyle Rittenhouse's point of import. So his point of import is the Second Amendment. Trump didn't deliver. And so Kyle Rittenhouse wanted to punish Trump. As long as they make these kids back out like this, we won't have any semblance of free thought from our public conversation. In our public conversation, John Drake says Trump's policies would be that of a Democrat centrist in the 80s. That's how much trouble we are in. That is how bad things are. And we don't have a political project that is right-wing. The right-wing was subverted. The Republican Party has been subverted. And Rittenhouse sees it, but he can't say it because he's intimidated. That really sucks, man. Now we have Andrew Wilson being victimized sexually on the Whatever podcast.
Damn. High five. Another. Yeah, no, high five.
So just so you know.
No, high five.
Well,
what?
I don't touch it. But here's the thing. All right, no, don't do it. Don't touch me.
You try to touch me. What are you fucking doing, bro?
She twerks her naked ass, well, with a panty. She twerks in front of a married Orthodox man. All of this for the refusal to high five. You're not entitled to high fives. You know, make sure before you demand a high five publicly, make sure that the other person is receptive, or you're going to get a denial and you're going to have to live with the denial. That's why you don't ask for high fives. You don't ask for you don't extend olive branches in a discord, in a debate or an interview, because you don't know that the other person is interested in grabbing your olive branch. So of course, you know, Andrew Wilson grabbed his right to refuse the high five. So he gets this woman's ass in the face instead. It doesn't make sense. You refuse a high five, so I impose my ass on you. That doesn't make sense. This is what we need to tell society. These women need supervision. And if you want, you can either have a whole police force dedicated to handling those psychiatric troubles, or you give us marriage. If you give us marriage, each man commits to fully caring for the crazy behaviors of one woman, and collectively we can neutralize them all. We can handle them all. Each man will be responsible for the crazy behaviors of one woman, or you need a police force, you need psychiatrists on the street, you need basically forced medication practices, because they're fucking insane.
I'm gonna be ridiculous back. I really just wanted a high five.
You wanted to make fun of high five. This is an undeveloped brain. This is not even childish. It's even a child that would do that, that would be wrong. You would punish them. Where does that come from? How? What's the state of degeneracy you need to be in to see a connection between a high five and your ass?
If he's so friendly, why can't I get a high five?
But here's the thing, right?
Stephen Robinson says, this is brilliant. Alas, too many cucks in the male population these days. Okay, another woman behavior. I can't show this one on screen. It's in an airport. I'm just going to show it without playing the video, but she just has bras and, you know, I've used a censored picture, but if you play the video, she's naked totally other than the bra. She starts peeing on the floor. Again, you know, society, either you hire an infinite workforce of janitors and people ready to clean out pee on the floor everywhere, or you give us marriage. There will be a guy who's willing to handle her crazy pee streak. James says the real crime was that ass. It was flat and too big at the same time. This is a thing. It is a thing. It is very hard for English women, you know, people with women with English genes, they have a big difficulty having a nice ass, because yes, there is this effect where it's flat even when they're fat. It's absolute nonsense. So you really have to go into the Hispanic or French gene populations to find the perfect ass form. Because, yes, the English woman, for some reason, I don't know if it's cultural or genetic. I think it's genetic, but maybe they're also seated through, they see too much. But whatever it is, they don't have a nice ass shape. And it's totally sad. It's absolutely flat. You can see the flatness, and it's like, bro, this is elliptical structure. This is too folk, like mathematically, it doesn't make sense. How it's an extension of your back. It continues as if your back continues all the way down. James says, lol, the commentary we needed. I mean, that's what it is. I know about this because I'm a YouTube racialist, you know. Shell petrol station in Birmingham. People are getting their car stolen by immigrant gangs.
Hey! Hey!
You see, the white guy has to flee. He's getting... They force him out of his car. There's no way. You can't live in those places. You can't even go gas without risk of getting your car stolen. Cosmic Nut says, flat is okay. Too big, no good. No, I mean, there is something wrong with the flat ass. Even I love women who are thin, thin, thin. Skeleton thin to the bone. But... that's no excuse and no reason to have a flat ass. The flat ass is disgusting. It is not attractive at all. It is the worst ass you can have. Yes, of course, if it's fat, it's even worse. But the flat ass is really something absolutely that is widespread across the English population. And by English, I mean the descendant of the English too. In America, and it totally misses the point. Defenestrator says pancake ass is horrible. Travis must inseminate this woman quick. This is probably the most urgent insemination case I've seen in my life. She has extreme old liberal cat lady potential developing. Look at Taylor Swift. People were bringing up Taylor Swift picture to highlight how she doesn't have makeup. Well, that's good. It's good to see Taylor Swift without makeup. That's fine. But, I mean, look at her eyes, and she's with the cat. I mean, this is a woman screaming for insemination. Where is Travis? Is he... practicing his football? He has to stop and inseminate Taylor Swift. She is 35 years old now. It's last chance. Last chance, or Taylor Swift will leave no decent. Defenestrator says she sees years of cat food in her future. I mean, she's there with the cat. Doesn't get more clear than this. She's about to become a cat lady. Save Taylor Swift. People are laughing their ass off at this guy because you know how the sharpshooters, they all have this specialized glasses that I've shown on the show yesterday. But this guy, apparently, he just likes to compete without the equipment. So he's just relaxed and he's standing with the relaxed attitude. That's an intentional poker face that they do, because to be a sharpshooter, you have to be extremely calm. Like, this is them shutting down their adrenaline system intentionally. So he looks just super serious. And because he doesn't have the special glasses, he just looks like an average guy who cracked out. Like... this guy was done. I'm done. They wrote a whole fan fiction around this guy. Of course, it's fiction. It's not news. But on 4chan, they started writing that this guy... this guy has had a divorce and he's telling his wife, I do want the dog back. With no emotion on his face. He wants his dog back. Shamrock Shake says, how is shooting a sport? Yeah, the Olympics, it's crazy, the exponentiation of the number of disciplines. It loses a lot of interest, in my view. Because, okay, you know, I might be willing to see two or three high-level competitions, but to be detailing it in so much disciplines, I don't like it. Orban vetoes EU joint statement on Venezuela. So Europe was all ready to write a unified statement from the European Union stating that Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, that they had concerns about alleged flaws and irregularities in the voting process. Budapest opposition endured the EU stance on the election and its calls for transparency. Hungary is the president of the Council of the EU for 2024. Once again, Orban is the only adult in the garden. That is absolutely great that we have a dissenting voice in the European Union, because they want to use these arbitrary double standard where, oh, well, if you have doubts about the American election, you can't even talk about it on social media. But then the intelligence community, when there's a result they don't like, they want to give themselves free rein to characterize other nations and their voting process as being fraudulent because they don't like the result. As long as you don't give us the liberty to freely discuss and freely expose details about election fraud, I don't want you to have a special right. In the end, if you want this as the intelligence community, if you want the right to go out there and judge and decide what you expose in terms of information, in terms of reports, I want the same right. I want to be able to counter your discourse if I disagree with you. But right now, I don't have this right. Right now, you get banned from YouTube if you complain against your own country's election fraud suspicions. People have reused the memes in all sorts of ways of this sharpshooter. Modern philosophers with thousands of years of accumulated philosophical and scientific knowledge, fully equipped cyborg type of individual versus Aristotle. And they compete in the same competition. That is great. We are headed apparently toward a boxing finally in the Olympics between two males in the woman category. Of course, the leftist big coverage these days is no, this is not a male. It's an intersex individual with a weird condition. It's like, I don't care. If this individual has gone through the development process of a male, even if it's due to a rare genetic defect where otherwise they are a female, maybe they even have a vagina. But if they've been boosted on testosterone like a man, and their whole body has grown under the assumption that they're a male, I don't really care. Just disqualify them from the competition. You're not supposed to be in the circus of genetic abnormalities in the Olympics. You are supposed to be a standard human coming with better practice. But then it touches on the question of relative success. The thing is, in a way, every winner of every Olympics is a genetic abnormality of some sort. So it's hard to put a line, but to me the line is very clear when we talk about women's sports and we talk about someone who's been exposed to so much testosterone that his body is basically male, That is not a woman to me. That's very it's a very easy call to do. Now, there are people, I remember back in my PhD days, I was doing a PhD with people who are in kinesiology because I was studying locomotion. And there was a guy, he had an extreme position. This guy was a master's student in kinesiology. His position was, since everyone is ultimately kind of a cheater, since everyone is winning through some abnormality of some sort, even if it's through practice, maybe you had more time to practice, but that's why in the end you won. Or maybe you were more dedicated, but you're born that way, right? You're born with dedication in your brain. His view was, we must change the Olympics to be the superhuman cyborg Olympics. Basically, everything is allowed. Anything goes. He wanted an Olympics where to win the swimming competition, you basically have to chop your own leg, plug yourself a rotator motor that has a big ventilator, and you go and you beat the other with your non-leg robotic attachment. That was his view. Everything goes. We should just let people use all the drugs they want. That's a little extreme, but it's out there. Some people think like this. But this is another case. Pan Zanley. Inspector Gadget, says DK Shadow. Yeah, Robot Olympics, kind of. People would be totally drugged and they would be boosted, basically, for the Olympic. The classic SNL skit about all drugs Olympics, says American Bream. Okay, I didn't know there had been a SNL skit on this. That's another case where you have supposed experts of swimming, because this guy totally wrecked the world record. He wrecked the world record, not by a little bit, by a lot. And you have all these white people who are big fans of white swimming. And they're like, this is impossible. Something is wrong here. I've been knowing the scene. I've been knowing the scene of swimming for 20 years. You can't beat a world record by that much. It was brought to perfection. Let me just show you an example of this kind of talk. This guy.
Listen, I'm just going to be honest. I'm angry at that swim. I'm angry for a number of reasons. Look, my friends are the fastest swimmers in history, from Rowdy Gaines to Alex Popoff to Gary Hall Jr., Anthony Irvin, all the way up to King Kyle Chalmers. I know these people intimately. I've studied them for 30 years. I've studied this sport. I've studied speed. I understand it. I'm an expert in it. That's what I do, okay? And I'm upset right now because you don't win 100 freestyle by a body length on that field. You just don't do it. It's not humanly possible to beat that field by a body length, okay? It's not. So I don't care what you say. This is not a race thing. This is not against any one particular person or any nation. This is just what I see and what I know.
See, this is a perfect example of the boomer self-deluding into some kind of expertise, but forgetting something about the truth of race. And see, he already insists, even without allowing himself to think it, he's already warning, I don't have anything about races or anything. Well, you should have something about races, because it's probably racial, the phenomenon that you're confronted with here. Here, your entire expertise has been built on assumptions of the white European body. And by the way, I've never seen an Asian with such perfect body for swimming. I mean, this guy seems like he was designed genetically for swimming. Because the characteristics for swimming is to have small hip, extremely large shoulder, segmented muscular of body so that you can oscillate like a shark, basically, and aerodynamism and general, there is a trade-off between weight. So you want a lot of weight on the shoulder so that you have the muscle power to even start advancing. But at the same time, you will be punished by weight, because the more weighty you are, the least aerodynamic you are, and the more heavy you are to accelerate. Now, this guy who says I'm an expert and that cannot be, the reason he thinks it cannot be is because it's always been white people winning at the swimming. Because this type of body, the blacks don't have it really. They're just not as good. So you had a lot of champions that were coming from Australia in the past that had this perfect, extremely bizarre high ratio between the shoulder being extremely large and being like a flapping seal, basically. The upper body is a flap, and yet extremely small hip like this. So that was the body that was white. Now, our records have been established with the white body, but the white body has a disadvantage in the trade-off that I just mentioned. The disadvantage of the white body is, yes, you can acquire that shape easier with the white body. Easier, say, than the African. But the problem is the white body, no matter what you do, for the same target shape, is going to be slightly heavier than the Asian body. Now, for most Asians, that doesn't mean that they would be good swimmers. But for the one Asian that happens to have the perfect body shape, or maybe he trained his body into this shape, for this one Asian, he has an edge. Because he has the advantage of the body shape that your white competitors had. On top of it, he has lower weight. He is more aerodynamic. So perhaps the perfect body for swimming is a highly shouldered Asian. And perhaps that's just what we discovered today. But see, the boomer refuses to even think in those terms, think in the terms of race. Instead, he just wants to stand there, and basically he's making loose, irresponsible accusations. He's basically implying that there must be some cheating or drug that have happened here. He's not saying it in these words. I have nothing about the country, but... And so he's stunned. He just can't allow the reality of race to inform his understanding of what happened. Defenestrator says Olympics should only be between European countries. Yeah, that would be perhaps the traditional way to look at it, and I would agree. I would agree that you don't have to call it the Olympics if you don't want to, but ultimately, there should be a competition between white people coming from different nations and accomplishing various things that are staples of the white race. To be competing against everyone on everything is kind of weird. And on top of it, with the immigration phenomenon, you end up having the blacks of the US are fighting against the blacks of Africa, fighting against the blacks of Europe in those black sports. So the flags don't mean anything anymore. Shamrock Shake says, at least China doesn't import the third world to compete for them. Yes, exactly. At least with China, we see actual Chinese people that are winning for their... for in disciplines that they shouldn't win, or that traditionally they haven't won. I don't know that China was particularly strong in swimming. And here they built the perfect Chinese swimmer. Well, I'm happy for them. I'm actually much more happy to see being beaten by a Chinese man than I would be to have beaten a black person fighting for China. The black person fighting for China is an irregularity for me. I want to see how you can make your people the best for this part. And this is what we saw. DK Shadow says, genetically engineered Chinese people, but Chinese people. Well, I am not for genetic engineering to make its entry in the Olympics. But when you think about it, it's certainly going to be potentially happening. And can you imagine the puzzle here? Because they won't be able to outlaw certain genes. They won't be, even be able to know if you had those genes naturally. To know if you had them naturally or through editing, you would have to ask for genetic test of the father and the mother so that you can see, oh, well, this gene comes neither from your father nor from your mother. But even then, first, you can't do that because you can't force the parents of someone to be responding to Olympics request. But secondly, even if you do this, two generations down the line, you'll never know. So imagine I edit myself to be a giga swimmer, but I don't participate to the Olympics. I just produce many children. And then I my children produce many children with these genes. And then my grandchildren, they become superstars of swimming, and there's no way to prove that ultimately they have benefited from gene editing. Longmont says, what sports did the Chinese play traditionally? Archery, riding horses? They don't have a lot of history with ball sports. I don't know about the Chinese history on this. I have no idea. Cosmic Nut says, I think China has the most gold medals in this current Olympics. Well, China, 2 decades ago, they started a massive effort to raise generations of children to specifically perform super high on Olympics measures. So that has been a long-term project of China to win the most gold medals. They have been at it for at least 20 years, where they started 20 years ago, they said, we're going to look through our 3-4-year-old population, and we're going to spot the best potential specimens, and we're going to train their entire life around becoming an Olympic super performer. So, I mean, if you do that kind of stuff, of course you end up winning. Personally, I'm not for it because I don't think it's worth it. Super performance and pushing the human body to the limit. I don't think it's a very healthy way to live. I am a man of a surplus. Like, if you have surplus time, you can dedicate it to a hobby or to becoming, very good into something, like the way I do prime number research. I think that's the healthy way to relate to a high-performance field. You do it with your extra time. But to be basically treating like animals, like circus animals, young children, and putting them on the path that they really don't have anything else to choose. I don't like it. I really don't like it. Silver Spider says, should we push the mind to the limit? Well, I don't think we should. I think we shouldn't aim... Like, they do this with the mind, too, sometimes. There are people who like to train their memory, and they're like, I can remember 500 numbers in a row. Or I can list 1 million decimals of pi. And I really don't like the idea. I think you're ruining yourself. You are hyper-specializing. You're not enjoying the richness of everything that the world has to offer. You've just become a super specialist. And most of the time, it's accompanied with all sorts of mental health issues, and like Michael Jackson style. Michael Jackson was basically beaten into becoming a good dancer. Amazing work, amazing dancing. you did become a great dancer. But is it worth beating someone, beating a child down into becoming this high performer? I don't think it's worth it. DK Shadow says, they use the memory of loci technique. It's not the normal way of remembering. Yeah, they use all sorts of tricks and they play with nature. Alex Cole says, Kyle Rittenhouse, I killed two people. MAGA, yeah, we love you, Kyle. Kyle Rittenhouse says, I'm not voting for Trump. MAGA, you murderer. Kyle Rittenhouse came out with this video yesterday, and I wanted to give him a tap on the back. That showed courage, and it showed logic. Kyle Rittenhouse reflected in the same way I did, in the same way Nick Fuentes did. Trump isn't giving us enough. It's grave. He's putting the country on the path to a war with Iran. I don't want to be associated with this. I don't want, in 2 years from now, when your child gets recruited, forced into the American army to go fight a frontline war with Iran, I don't want to be accused of participating to this. So I see it coming. And so I pull out. I say, I'm not for Trump this election. I'm seeing it coming. He has been bought out. He is extremely bloodthirsty. And that's not looking good for the future of America. Now, Kyle Rittenhouse was in the same situation, but with another question. The question of the Second Amendment. So he made the very same reflection and shared this video freely.
Hi, I'm Kyle Rittenhouse, outreach director for Texas Gun Rights. A lot of people are upset that I said I'm going to be writing in Ron Paul for president of the United States. And that is true. I will be writing in Ron Paul. Unfortunately, Donald Trump had bad advisors making him bad on the Second Amendment, and that is my issue. If you cannot be completely uncompromisable on the Second Amendment, I will not vote for you, and I will write somebody else in. We need champions for the Second Amendment, or our rights will be eaten away and eroded each day. I support my decision, and I have no take backs.
It's funny because these people, you rarely hear me say these words, like, I'm not taking it back. Because it goes, you know, when you listen to JF, it goes without saying that I will stand tomorrow, you will wake up, and I will still think the same thing. In 2 days from now, I will still probably think the same thing. And there's very rarely a change in view. And if there is a change in view, it will generally be because there was a change in situation. So I don't have to specify, you know what I'm saying tonight, I stand by it. But, well, because I wouldn't be saying it if I wasn't to be... Like, I've thought it through. You're not going to change my mind on this next week, next month, next year. It's my final say. I say it publicly on the internet, and I know that's forever. But these guys who do have to say it, it's the second time in a row this month where we've had the... Who was it who said, I'm not taking it back, and who took it back? Was it Lily? I think it was Lily. She said something, I'm not taking it back. And the next day she took it back. I don't know if it was Lily or some other woman, but I remember it was a woman. It's weird that they have to say it, because I'm not taking it back, and they are the first to take it back. Kyle Rittenhouse today takes it back. Myra Mind says, red flag laws, bump stock ban, Trump was in favor of both. Yeah, that's a problem with Trump also. You know, red flag laws. If you allow red flag laws, you allow eventually a bunch of LGBT leftists who will be in charge of your local judiciary process to say, oh, well, I've evaluated the mental health of this tweeter, and he's not doing good, Your Honor. We should go get his guns. That's exactly what you're going to get. There's no way There's no way it doesn't head that way. Because the leftists have all the time on their hands to invade and infect the local jurisdictions of everything. So they will invade the local jurisdictions of these courts of red flags, and they will do like they did to the family court. They will make it a tool of their political advancement. Now, Kyle Rittenhouse, this fucking cock, betrays my thumbnail, because by the time I had clicked upload on the thumbnail, he was already publishing a retraction. Over the past 12 hours, I've had a series of productive conversations with members of the Trump's team, and I am confident he will be the strong ally gun owners need to defend our Second Amendment rights. My comments made last night were ill-informed and unproductive. I'm 100% behind Donald Trump and encourage every gun owner to join me in helping send him back to the White House. This as a result of pressure. I can't believe that there are thinkers out there who don't put enough love in their work. They really can change that fast. Like, when I say something publicly, I've calculated every consequence of it. I know that I will be rejected for saying this, or that I will be applauded for saying that. And yet, I decide, okay, this is my thought and my public position, and I will say it. And then I stick to it. But there are people, they have no self-respect. They are swayable by calls. Oh, you know, I talked to the team and now things have changed. You've been propagandized. You've been intimidated, Kyle. And you are showing why the right's position on liberty is hypocritical. The normie right is as bad as the left on the question of cognitive freedom. This is not the right wing I joined, by the way. The right wing I joined when I decided to be right wing around 2014-2015. The right wing was an open-minded movement of edginess, questioning, revolt, where everything could happen. There was some chaotic punk aspect to the right. But now the right is more like this. And that's disgusting to me. Joey Manarino. The movement is Trump. Without Trump, there is no movement. It will devolve back into the party of Mitt Romney, who lose on purpose so they can feel superior. So when someone who is a big fixture in the movement, like Kyle Rittenhouse, plays in our face like he did last night, we have to hit that dissent with the force of 1,000. You can't go lightly on those people. He since apologized, so that's good. But without the pressure, do you think he would have? We can let up on him now, and that's it. We have an election to win, and if Rittenhouse is on the team again, it's one love until November 5th. Just remember, this movement is about winning our country back, and Trump is our only chance at that. So, compellment, you know, intimidation on your own side, the same way the left does it, the same way the Jews do it. When a Jew walks astray, when the Jews become a little too sympathetic to the Palestinians, he will be the first to receive the ire of his kind. And that's sad, because it quashes freedom of thought in your movement, and it makes your movement crystallized. And generally, the crystallization is in the wrong direction. In other words, your movement gets stuck, and it gets stuck in exactly the wrong position. And eventually, it can't do anything but lose. That is a point that is made by Joshua Smith, and I fully agree with what he's saying here. He says, now would be a good time to push Trump to be stronger on the Second Amendment instead of demonizing the people who are still mad at him for his support of red flag laws and bump stock bans, more anti-gun legislation than any president in my lifetime other than Reagan. But I guess you could lose too. That's okay. I've come personally to the realization, and I've shared this with you guys and in debates, I believe that the best thing that can happen would be a Trump loss. Because Trump is going on his high horse, and he thinks his votes are acquired on the right, and that he doesn't even have to serve the right anymore. And he's doing it on the guns, he's doing it on immigration, legal immigration. He's doing it on identity. He's doing it on the oppression of whites. He's doing it in this constant kneeling to the black community. And at this point, if you don't punish this, you're never going... If you don't punish this, you're basically telling me, I will vote for Hillary Clinton if she heads the Republican Party. At this point. So it's like, okay, you can do that if you want. Personally, I think that the future is more important than the next 4 years. I think that having a good choice on the right is more important in 10 years from now than giving our country away to whoever wants to wear the Republican label. DK Shadow says, I think Trump is right, though. He knows he has a captive voter base. I think there's no such thing as a captive voter base, because it's all about the turnout and it's all about the motivation. And again, we have seen people assuming that they have a captive voter base lose. And by the way, that's the whole story of the Trump loss from 2020. There are people who could have voted for Trump who didn't go vote. There are white people who were turned off by the Trump 2020 that was getting softer than the Trump 2016. That is one of the stories of 2020. And if he can't learn his lesson, then we have to repeat the punishment. John Drake says, he's going to help BTC. I'm for him on this alone. Yeah, BTC has been going down. Along the stock market, we are kind of in a drop of everything. Stock market went down. Bitcoin went down in the last 3 days. I'm not super worried. I think that no matter whether it's Trump or Joe or Kamala Harris, I think the future looks bright for Bitcoin. And importantly, I think that the Fed is painting itself into a corner. There will be no choice, no matter what's the administration. We are headed for the Fed feeling eventually forced to print money. That will be their only way they know how to get out of an economic depression. And whether that day is in 6 months or 2 years, it has to happen. It's their only way to restore the economy, because the economy isn't walking forward on its own. It's a dead economy, and it's been dead for decades. The only way we've ever awakened the economy is by artificial printing. Longmont says, the stock market was promised that Ukraine would bring great riches to the West. Well, yeah, rather it was more a way to redirect the riches of the West to dark networks. Pookie sends a super chat. He says, will the Old Testament lifespans be possible within 30 years, given the rate at which anti-aging biotech is advancing? Personally, I don't think that anti-aging biotech is going anywhere. I am black-pilled on the question of life extension. I don't think it's even desirable to want to extend life. I believe that death has a function, and it's important to die. And the extensions that we can have, the kind of extension that we've had, say, in the last 100 years due to improvement in all sorts of things, medicine, salubrity, etc. these improvements are really extending a part of life that is not so enjoyable to live. We've basically extended your life between 40 and 90 years old. That's the area where it's extending. Now, you won't be an Olympics performer at 80 years old. You won't be a genius inventor. You're doing nothing at 80 years old. You're just surviving. And to me, that's the best that anti-aging technology will get us. It will just extend the moment at which our heart still beats, but it won't give us a fundamentally better life. And it doesn't even extend the parts of life that are actually enjoyable, like where you can have hope and you can do exceptional things, or even just reproduce. The parts of life that we extend aren't even reproductive years. So no, I don't like life extension, and I don't even think we're headed toward massive life extension of the lifespans, simply because I think that death is just like cancer. I said recently that cancer is not a thing. Cancer is an absence of a thing. Cancer is the absence of your genes having a desire to even survive. Your genes at this point, when you have cancer, it's because your genes have abandoned and they know there's already copies of them elsewhere in children, and they know that this is the only thing that matters to the future. And for this reason, you don't evolve to live forever. You only evolve to live just long enough to care for your children, and then you evolve to die. When cancer attacks, it's an illustration of the fact that evolution didn't want us alive. Because our kids, you know, children have the exact same cells that we have, the exact same genomes that we have. There may be a little difference in the telomerase and all sorts of molecular mechanism, but basically a children potentially would be the seat of a cancer as much as an old person. The reason children don't have cancer is that they've evolved not to have cancer. The reason old people have cancer is that they haven't evolved to not have cancer. So they haven't. So that's an absence of a thing rather than the presence of a thing. So you don't have cancer. You just haven't evolved not to have cancer. The same thing is true of death. You don't die, really. It's just that life doesn't care enough to keep you going. So death is an absence of a thing, too. It's an absence of a drive to live one more second. Disclose.tv says, Justin, Pentagon deploys additional cruisers, destroyers, and a fighter squadron to the Middle East amid tensions. Clearly, the American Empire positioning himself for war with Iran and potentially counting on a Trump presidency to make it happen. Matt says, what about those children who do have cancer? I had leukemia as a child. Well, there are exceptions to the rules, so we haven't fully evolved to avoid all possible cancers, but we have generally evolved to avoid the vast majority of cancers as a child. Andrew Torba says, speaking from experience, Josh Shapiro is a deeply wicked man. He has relentlessly targeted Christians, including me personally, for years. We must set aside any and all infighting and critiques of the right until after we win, focus, come together, and win. I say no to Andrew Torba. I'm not going to participate to a call for unity and in a way that makes my contribution to public life useless. Because then if I don't use leverage when I have it, then you can just write me in for cheering for the Republican forever, no matter how bad they are. No, I want a Republican Party that actually operates a true right-wing platform, and an anti-war platform. If I don't have this, then I can root for Kamala, just like Nick Fuentes was trying. You know, he was trying to cheer for Kamala. He was like, she's funny. She's funny when she says this, when she says that. Yeah, I'm going to have to find the good in Kamala. Because at least with Kamala, it seems like we wouldn't be headed toward a war with Iran. With Trump, we are certainly headed toward a war with Iran at this point. He said, he tweeted on his Truth Social, if I die, I want you guys to eradicate Iran from the surface of the earth. If I die. So if he's alive, he's certainly going to eradicate Iran or try to eradicate Iran from the surface of the earth. He even wanted us to go to war if he gets shot. Go to war for Trump. yeah. So no, I you have to be intelligent in life, or else you become a puppet of someone else. And right now, Trump is trying to get the whole segment to his right to be a puppet of his narcissistic play on the Republican presidency. We shouldn't let this happen. Longmont says, Trump is saying what he needs to say so as not to lose neocon support. Well, the thing is, you can have this 6D chess hypothesis, but he's not giving any signs that he is 6D chessing here. So I'm not going to assume that somehow he has a secret program that will turn to my advantage, because every time you assume this in politics, you're going to be disappointed. Nicolas Fuentes says, Mark Zuckerberg's foundation spent $300 million on GoTV in Democrat strongholds in 2020. Now he and every other Silicon Valley oligarch says they are backing Trump. How do people account for this other than that Trump is the chosen candidate of this elite faction? Absolutely. We must conclude that Trump has been subverted. It's the only conclusion in front of the facts. And that we are headed toward an invasion of Iran under Trump. I don't want to see this because it's a Pyrrhic victory at best. It's a big mess. And I was interested in the Trump movement at the beginning because it was fundamentally an anti-war movement, because America was constantly in those wars, constantly throwing money out the window. And I think that what's interesting in America First is this concept that we can use these resources that normally would go to Middle Eastern wars, and we can prop up the local internal economy of the U.S. That's what I see as an interesting path. Now, if you tell me America First is about invading Iran, no, I don't agree. Age Security says, that is not the only conclusion, JF. He could have been bullshitting the whole time. Well, that would be in line with my conclusion. All right, that is it for tonight, boys. Much love. Sad days in politics these days, but... And, you know, like the Kyle Rittenhouse thing, that could have saved the day for me. There would be at least one free thinker out there. But no, they dunk on him and they get him to fold. A man who wouldn't fold in front of leftist harassment, a man who would shoot instead of accepting to be harassed, when he is on the public space and trying to make arguments and freely engage in thought, then he's very easy to intimidate because he doesn't have his AR-15 to shoot back. All you have is this limited mental faculty. And it takes balls to freely think. It takes balls to go against the grain. But if you don't go against the grain, if you always fall to the pressure, you become part of the problem. Kyle Rittenhouse will be part of the problem. Because here you are, Kyle, cheering for Trump when Trump is headed toward violations of gun rights and war with Iran. Are you sure you want to stand with this historically? Because that's how people will see you. You will have been part of those voices intimidated into joining this side. Are you sure you want to be remembered for this, Kyle? That is it for tonight. Much love. I'll see you all tomorrow.